So I'm going to just cover what I believe baptism to be. Baptism as a word means to be immersed or completely dipped under water, as opposed to sprinkling of water or anything like that. I think the Bible speaks about two forms of baptism in one sense, and it's usually about when you're saved. And an example would be repent and be baptized, everyone, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and that's an absolute important fact that you need to start off with to be saved. So you might be baptized as a result of being saved, and then there might be those that are have a family, and then also what's called household might be all baptized as a household, and that will incorporate children potentially of believing parents that do it in an act of faith, and that their children would grow up and eventually come to the same enjoyment of Christianity as perhaps the believing parents have done. And I think one scripture that perhaps would indicate why that might be so is the promises for you and your children, and that's the promise that God would give. It's done in faith that it would be your children would grow up and come into the belief and knowledge of the same Christian faith that you hold. I think those are the two bases, but ultimately there's only really baptism in the Bible, and it is baptism which involves immersion in water. So christening is not baptism, and I make that very clear, because it doesn't involve complete immersion in water. And the most important thing is baptism doesn't save you. So why baptism? I think the important thing is it's an outward sign of a change, and that change in your heart is what's called repentance, which is turning around from being sinner to being saved and in a different life. And it's something that's already occurred. In other words, you're already saved. You're not baptized and saved. You're saved, then baptized. And it's about that change that's happened in your heart, and you coming to understand it and appreciate it as a believer and wanting to outwardly show that to others that you are a changed person inside. I think it's an act of faith and obedience. It's a command or an ordinance that God has given that we should be believe and repent and be baptized. And it's something that we should do when you've been converted. And it's a witness that we belong to Jesus and we've committed our lives to him. And I think that's the challenge that we've been talking about today, really, is that our life is about committing it to Jesus and being able to be protected and helped through our Christian life with him. Let's just think about the meaning of baptism. And what does it mean to be baptized? Symbolically, it identifies the believer with Jesus, with the Christ, in both his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And just to illustrate that, is just, hopefully you can see that as an illustration. The Lord Jesus died on the cross, shed his precious blood. He was buried in a grave, in a tomb. He was in that tomb for 3 days, for 3 nights. And then on the third day, on that Sunday morning, he was raised, and he was ascended and into resurrection. But baptism symbolically connects you with Jesus, both in his death, in the going down into the water, and then in the burial by going under the water, and then by rising again out of the water into resurrection. And it's just symbolic, but it's a real important meaning and understanding that it's to be buried with Jesus, or to be with him in his death and his burial and then his resurrection. And we'll come on to what those mean. What we have to understand, it reminds us of what we've been saved from and what we've been saved for. So we've been saved from our sins, we've been saved from that sinfulness of our life that we've talked about, that we're all guilty of, and we need protection from the power of the devil and Satan and all those things that will entice us in this world. The Lord, in dying on the cross, died for our sins once and for all. And those sins are completely washed away, never to be brought back against us once you've trusted in Jesus. But we've been saved for something. We've been saved for Him, to live a life for Him and to be able to love Him and worship Him. And that's why the importance of baptism is, because we might be saved, but I think we've come to the appreciation of really what living the life for Jesus is. And I think that's what I feel is so important. It reminds us of what we've been saved from, that we've died in our sins, from our sins, we've been buried with Jesus, and we've been raised with Him into a new life, a life in Jesus. And that's what baptism is all about. It's about being in a new life with Him. I think it's a testimony to a believer's faith, so, you know, it's something that's done. Tomorrow, those of us that will be here tomorrow, we're going to have a wonderful opportunity to see that witness and testimony of a believer's faith in Jordan and the fact about a new life. And we'll cover a bit about this new life later on. Scriptures that are important. Romans 6 is probably the most relevant scripture about baptism of a believer. So we've been buried therefore with Him by baptism unto death, in order that even as Christ has been raised from among the dead by the glory of the Father, so also should walk in newness. We should also walk in newness of life. Been buried with Him unto death and raised up from among the dead. If Christ wasn't raised, the scripture tells us He would still be in our sins. It's a wonderful thing. If there wasn't the fact that the Lord Jesus had raised, we'd still be in our sins. And that new life is because Jesus is alive and living, and we can be united and linked to Him in every day of our life. And so it's a new thing that we come into when we believe. If anyone's in Christ, if anyone is a believer in Jesus, there is a new creation. In other words, our old sinful life has gone away and we have become new. So that's Corinthians tells us about that. So who should be baptised? I guess we need to think about the Lord Jesus was baptised. And you might think that's why should Jesus have to be baptised? Somebody that was perfect, holy, there was no sin. And I think it tells us in the Bible that it was to fulfil righteousness when the Lord explained why He wanted to be baptised. And it's really a prefigure of what Christian baptism is about the Lord identifying Himself with us, with sinners, because Jesus was to die. So when he was baptised, it was before He started His service, and God identified Jesus as to who He was and said, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I have found my delight." So Jesus was identified through His baptism, and the Spirit descended on Him, and He was marked out as perfect and holy and spotless. But what He was to do was to live a life here and ultimately lay down His life for you and for me in death and burial and resurrection. And it was looking forward to that fact that He was to do that. And so He was baptised by John the Baptist. The Lord told His disciples at the end of Matthew's Gospel that they were to go out and preach and to make disciples of all the nations, and to baptise them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so it was clearly something that early Christians were told they should preach and speak about. And it's interesting, I speak for myself, but how often in the Gospel do we really speak about the baptism? But I think the understanding of it is what you come to appreciate once you have become a believer. And so today, the important thing is to understand that a believer following conversion should be baptised. In the Acts of the Apostles, there are 9 occasions of baptism, which is interesting in itself. And nearly all of those occur immediately following believing. Absolute scripture that's for those that have got any question about their salvation. He that believes on Jesus and is baptized will be saved. There's no doubt if you trust in Jesus, then be baptized, you will be saved. But believing is what saves you, not the baptism. I want to just think about five people in the Bible. Saul, who later became Paul, he was baptized. You know the story. Saul was a Pharisee. He was a religious person who was absolutely at the top of his career in terms of his religious career. He was absolutely against Christianity and Christians. He was persecuting them, putting them into prison, killing those that believed. And on a journey he was making where he was going to Damascus, he met his Saviour and he came to know the Lord as his Saviour. He was made blind for a period of time, and then he had a man that came to see him called Ananias. Ananias came to see him and said, "Brother Saul." Saul's eyes were opened. He was praying at the time, and it's an interesting thing that Saul was praying at the time. He clearly was having that change in his heart and repentance and coming to know his Saviour. And immediately afterwards, it says that Ananias baptized him and Paul was baptized. So he was converted, and you know, the thing that is worth you looking at and thinking about perhaps later is the change that happens. And it's the change in a person that is important in Christianity. We once were sinners, we once were away from God, we're brought back to God, and we're to live a new life in Him. And Paul was a completely changed person, and we've got wonderful testimony to his faith and what he did, and his preachings and his words in the epistles that he wrote to other believers to encourage them. Also in the Acts, Lydia, who was a lady that made purple royal garments and dyed them, she heard the preaching and believed and immediately was baptised. And she's one of them in the Bible where it tells us that she was baptised and her family at the same time. So it's important, and the reason that somebody that's converted with a family is because you want them to also be coming into the same blessings. And maybe they too believed at the same time, maybe they didn't. It's difficult to know from Scripture, but she had the desire that she wanted her family to be baptised at the same time so that they could come into the understanding of what true baptism means and come to be saved ultimately if they weren't already. The Philippian jailer in Acts 16. You probably all know the story, so bear with me. But again, he was a man that was just about to commit suicide because he'd put Paul and Silas into prison. He'd locked them into stocks right into the inner prison. And God acted because they were praying while in prison and singing. And God acted at midnight and brought about an earthquake, which opened all the prison doors. And this jailer that was looking after them thought that they'd fled and that his life would be, he would be killed because he'd allowed prisoners to escape. And he was at his wit's end and thought the only thing he could do was commit suicide and take his life. But you know, Paul could cry out and say, "Do no harm. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." And that's all it is in salvation in the gospel, is for you to just trust in Jesus and cry to him in your need and he'll save you. And so the jailer was saved, and again it tells us there that he was baptised and he and his household was also baptised. The Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8, he was travelling in the desert in his chariot. Very important person, was like a chancellor of the exchequer looking after the money, and he came along and was reading from Isaiah 53. And those that know the Bible will know that Isaiah 53 is about the Lord Jesus and his suffering on the cross, how he suffered for you and for me. He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and he was stricken and smitten and afflicted. It's worth reading that scripture to really understand what the Lord suffered for you and for me. And it was spoken prophetically as to his death in the future. And here was a man that was reading the Bible, and he was reading it and didn't understand what he was reading. And that in itself is interesting, because, you know, we have the Spirit today to help us to understand the scriptures and make them clear. But we do sometimes get stuck as to what the scripture means. And this person was clearly wanting to understand what it meant. And Philip, who was a preacher, came along, happened to be going along and being directed by the Spirit of God to meet this man in the desert. And he heard him reading from this passage of the Bible and told him all about Jesus and what Jesus, that what it meant from that scripture. He explained what Jesus did, was to do, and how he laid down his life for each one of us. And that man, you know, he started to understand the scripture. He put his trust in Jesus as his saviour. And he then saw some water in the desert, and he decided, what hinders, what prevents me being baptised? And he was immediately baptised. And it's interesting that he was baptised, and Philip, who baptised him, was caught up and taken away, and the Ethiopian was left on his own. And you know, as Christians, we sometimes have others around us to help us and support us. Sometimes we might be on our own, but you know, our Lord and Saviour Jesus will never leave us, he'll never forsake us. He's one that will always be with us and will follow us through our Christian pathway, and it's a wonderful thing to have that knowledge of him. Right at the beginning of the Acts, at the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit descended on Christians, you know, they heard the message, and one day 3,000 souls were baptised. What a wonderful thing to have so many baptised. So there's just five examples. There's many more in the Bible of those that were baptised when they believed. When is a believer baptised? Some people perhaps think it needs to be a bit of time, having been believed, to sort of prove yourself, or you might think it's you delay until you decide whether it's right. Now, clearly the Ethiopian said, "Behold water, what hinders me being baptised?" And he was immediately baptised. And I'm not criticising people that may make that delay, and that's absolutely fine. And I think we'll come on to when you it's understanding baptism that's the most important thing, not necessarily the physical when it happened or when the time it happened. And it's understanding what it means. And I, for myself, I was baptised when I was very young. But understanding what baptism means is something that I've only really come to know as I've got older, because it's appreciating what the Lord has done for me, and that he died for me, and that I need to die with him. In other words, I have to, my sins and my sinful way of life has to go, and that I have to be in a new life with Jesus. And that's what it's about. Not so much about when it happens, it's about going back to and thinking about what it means and what Jesus has done for you, and being recognising that in your life. It's not necessary, if you've been previously baptised as a child, to suddenly, when you're converted, decide to be baptised again. But of course, some people make a decision that they want to do, make a personal testimony when they are converted. But the important thing for me is that, like the Ethiopian who suddenly saw water, realised he could be baptised. You know, for me, I was baptised as a child, and the wonderful thing is, when I was converted, I perhaps didn't think about baptism at that stage. But actually, when you find out, then your parents actually, in faith, baptised you as a child, you know, you realise, well, actually, you don't need to do it again, because the act of baptism doesn't do anything. It's about appreciating what it means in your life and understanding the teaching of baptism as opposed to the act of it. You don't need to necessarily do it again, but I've got absolutely no problem with those that may choose to do so because they want to make that testimony, and I think there's nothing wrong with that. So the purpose of baptism is to commit to living a new spiritual life in Jesus or in Christ as a believer and await his coming again. As many here will appreciate, we are looking for one day the Lord is going to come to take every believer to be with him so that you can be united and see Jesus face to face. That's what we look forward to, but in the meantime we're meant to live a life that's in accordance with Jesus as a believer, and that's what the teaching of baptism would help us to do. So then, as a Christian, when you're baptised, you show that the old self, or the sinful way of living, is gone. That's buried in the waters of baptism. The old person is dead in the under the water of baptism, and a new person is alive when the Lord and you come out of the waters of baptism, and you're ready to start living a way that pleases God. And that's a real challenge, isn't it, to all of us? You know, it's all very well to talk. How many of us can really say we live a life that's pleasing to God? So I'm not saying it's easy. The teaching of baptism is that's what we're to do as a Christian, is to live a life and walk in a way that pleases him. We need help to do that. So Galatians 2, I'm crucified with Christ. I no longer live I, but Christ lives in me, in that I am now living flesh. I live by faith, the faith of the Son of God who has loved me and gave himself for me. I love that scripture. I think it's a wonderful scripture. He who has loved me and gave himself for me. That's what Jesus has done for me. But, you know, I'm crucified with Christ and I no longer live. Baptism isn't about the person being baptised. The person being baptised is going out of sight and coming up as a new person, as a new believer in faith and trusting in Jesus. So I think the important thing about baptism is not about when it happens or the timing of it. It's more about living in the light of your baptism. And the Bible talks about two ordinances. Ordinances, commandments. Perhaps commandments is a little bit strong, but ordinances are given to believers. And one is baptism, and I'll just put the second bit up. And the second one is the Lord's Supper. And interesting, both of them are about the Lord dying and the fact he was buried and risen again. But baptism is something that you do once, but the Lord's Supper is, and that's something that we're encouraged to service to as often as you. As often as you show forth his death until he comes. And so we're expected to remember the Lord in the breaking of bread or the Lord's Supper, and we do that as often as we can. We'll be, Lord willing, doing it tomorrow, and it's an opportunity to thank the Lord for what he's done in dying for us and shedding his blood for us. That's what we'll be remembering and worshiping and praising him for that. But that's something we repeat. Baptism is something that we do for once. So responsibility, and this again is very challenging, is that every believer is to live consistent with their baptism. And I feel that very challenging for myself, is do I really live as if my old sinful way is completely gone? And we've been challenged today by the attacks of the devil on our life, and how that can be a real challenge and get through our armour and affect our life. But you know, we are to live a life which is a life for Jesus. And that's why, just to link it with today's theme really, is the wonderful thing is we aren't left alone to do it. We're given the blessed Holy Spirit to help us to live our life, but he also gives us this armour that we've been speaking about today to protect us, and the faith to protect us from the power of the devil, which is very real, as we've been discussing. The three scriptures I just think are helpful just to talk about baptism, and this one focuses on, again, the fact that when you become a Christian, you come into the Christian church, the assembly of believers, those that trust in Jesus, and there's one known as the body, there's one body, there's one spirit, there's one Lord, Jesus, there's one faith, there's one baptism, one God and Father, who is over all and through all and in us all. What a wonderful thing it is to have the presence of God through the Spirit in our very beings, and we're able to live a life. And we're brought into that one body of Christians, which is a wonderful thing. As many as have been baptized into Christ and have put on Christ, so we're to live a life as living as if Christ is in us and living a life for him. And finally, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but have a new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. And that's the challenge, I think, for all of us, is do we do what's right for the glory of God? But that's living in the light of your baptism. Romans 6. So a new life is a life for him. It requires obedience, dependence on him, and service to him. Obedience, I guess, it starts off right at the beginning when we believe, we obey the gospel. Dependence is a wonderful thing that we can trust in Jesus every day of our life. He's a friend that will never leave us. He's somebody that will always be with us to help us. And service is something that he looks for from each of us, to serve him, to love him, to worship him and trust in him. So we need the Spirit's help, and God has given us the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. So we can't walk in this new life without the Spirit's power and help. Baptism also connects us to the body of Christ, the assembly, by the Spirit in his church. And I think 1 Corinthians 12 tells, we're all baptized by one Spirit into one body. The end of Matthew is a wonderful passage which we've already referred to, but it tells us that they were to baptize. But I love the last sentence of that verse: behold, I am with you all the days until the completion of the age. And I think we probably refer to that last year when we were here as a wonderful passage. I think Simon may have mentioned it, but I love that verse. That's the promise that as every believer has, that Jesus will be with you until the end of time. He's our Saviour forever. So just to finish off, we're buried with him in death, we're raised to walk in newness of life. That is what baptism is about. Romans 6 is probably the scripture to look at. We're buried with him by baptism to death, in order that even as Christ has been raised from among the dead by the glory of the Father, so all should walk in newness of life.